lowering the lap button.
Hopefully that was on mic.
Oh, yeah. Am I on?
Yeah, we're on. Ooh. Yeah, hang on. Let me just make sure. Double check. 1, 2.
Yeah. 4. Am I on?
You sound good.
Yeah. I sound good? Yeah. Oh, I can't hear anything in this headphone, so hey, guys.
No, you're hot. All right, yo, internet, thank you for joining us for our second episode of the Stroll Podcast. Or the Stroll Show. You did that last week, and I didn't say anything to you. So
I'm just
don't say shit to
me. Because now you're in the driver's seat.
We're switching. We're tag teaming. It's okay.
It's a little more hot over there than it is on the side.
All right. Well, in case you didn't join us last week, I'm the C, and sit next to me.
I'm the Flow guys. What's up?
All right. And just so you know, this is our show. Today we have guests again for you all. These are friends of ours, right, Steve?
Yes, they are.
They're sitting with us right now. We're going to bring them in a second. We're going to play a song from their... Hey, you guys don't really put out albums. Like, basically, we're with Bobo Touch.
Yeah, they're like PSA dudes.
PSA, countercultural, making announcements about, you know, letting you know how to live life properly in the big city.
Yeah, they're educators of the underground.
As you will soon see, that we're going to play our favorite song that they released. So I don't know how to define it. Like, you put out songs on YouTube nowadays, and it's just kind of like, it's there. You don't really need to put out an album, right?
No, you know what it is? They dropped it. That's what happens with rap songs.
Totally.
It's not really like a release. They dropped it. Shit, did you hear that shit? Bobo Touch? It just dropped. You know, it's kind of one of those. They dropped that stuff.
Yeah.
They dropped it, yeah.
Educated
as well.
I guess we'll get into introductions when we come back from the song. But yeah, let's play the song. How about that? This is our favorite jam that they dropped.
This is the hottest jam of the summer.
The hottest jam of the summer.
2016.
We quote this song daily, and I'm looking forward to talking about it after we play it. This one is called Texting and Walking. And also, Don't Die, by the way.
To the ocean.
All right, here we go.
Or we're going to disappear right now.
Because I have endless cash from my daddy. Bobo Touch.
Oh boy, I did that again. I always
That's
do
right.
that.
That's what happens.
All right.
Are we back?
We're back.
Oh, let me get my headphones back on for this.
That was Bobo Touch.
That was in, yeah.
texting and walking. And we're sitting here with the men themselves.
Yeah, we got Brian. We got Big Mike over here today.
Hey, guys, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
All right, so yeah, you're listening to the Stroll Podcast. I did it again. I'm sorry.
It flows off the tongue.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. The Stroll Show should too. It's the sibilance. So. The sibilance should make it easier. Yeah. But yeah, so
we just abbreviate to the TSS, the Stroll Show.
I don't think anybody would know what the fuck that is. But anyway, so
one day, RSS feed.
So it's on. We're on Radio Free Brooklyn. We're with Bobo Touch. So let's discuss. Let's break this down. Texting and walking. Why? Why did this happen? Why did you give this gift to us? Please explain.
I often, and I still do to this day, walk with my phone in front of my face when I'm crossing the street. I don't even care to look both ways. And it's dangerous. And I still do it. I try not to do it. I try to practice what we preach in this specific track. But it's a common thing. People do it when they drive, when they walk into things. I've seen people hit their heads on like traffic signs on the sidewalk because, like beautiful women just like reading their phone and then clock themselves. And they try to act all cool, rubbing their head away.
Exactly. It's like, oh, yeah, I didn't mean that. Yeah, totally. I meant that. I meant to do that.
I just think it's like a day-to-day thing that we encounter a lot recently where we're doing these etiquette topics where people do, run into us and we just, especially in the whole Williamsburg, we're from Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, so we just had a little fun.
Right.
The whole Williamsburg thing as well.
Right.
Yeah. We try to marry those types of things for every video too, like a visual or neighborhood or scene or vibe of a person or character with a topic.
Right. Yeah. Where does I want to ask this to you specifically,
sure.
Mike. I've been wanting to ask this.
Bring it on.
I'm just saying, get ready for this one, okay?
I'm ready. I think I know.
I'm ready. Maybe you do. All right. My question is this to you, my friend. Where do you get your rap stylings from?
Oh, I love it. Thank you, baby.
Because I can't define it. I can't describe it to people. It just sounds like Vanilla Ice being played backwards.
This is great.
Sped up and then also being electrocuted. Like that. That's what it reminds me of. Where did that come from for you? I want to know.
So that's pretty great, man. I feel like, obviously we're very, I'm very influenced by Beastie Boys. I think everyone is. And I just think, I'm not a singer, I'm not a rapper, and I know that. So I think I just, embrace the terrible nature of my rapping, and I just bring it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I just write these lyrics down, and I just, a lot of the takes are improv, actually. I write down loose things and
write the A bar.
Yeah, exactly. I just write the A bar and then I just kind of
what
just
the hell is the A bar?
I don't rip. And usually
eight bars.
Yeah, and usually it's just it just becomes very. It kind of just becomes its own thing as I lay it down. And I know I'm not a singer or a rapper, and I think that's kind of the beauty of just me just letting this rip in whatever nature it comes out, and that's kind of how it is.
I agree.
You guys have topics you want to hit while you're rapping? It's like I got to go with some texting. Some topical stuff from Williamsburg.
Yeah, I mean, usually we have like a topic that we're aiming for, and then we'll just do sessions, and we'll just start laying things down per topic.
We'll loop music, and then kind of either write on the spot, or I'll send him a beat, and he'll kind of listen to it, and then start.
Oh, so like you're usually like the beat master?
I do a lot of the audio production, and then Riz does all the editing.
This guy is a genius with the music. I just come in and lay really bad vocals over it.
But then he makes sure that. Yeah, his editing like skills, though, is
yeah,
what ties.
And I'm an editor. I work in TV, so I'm an editor. So okay. I do all the editing.
So
the
it's a good marriage of, like, the audio collaboration and music into then film and TV post-production.
Right. Because, for those of you who don't know, Brian is a musician, plays his own music. And, that's how we found out about Brian through different musical channels. But
nice.
So... How did this come about? Like, I'm sure you guys must have known each other for a while.
Oh, we grew up together.
Right.
Yeah, we're childhood friends. Yeah.
We're childhood
That's
friends
awesome.
From the Bay Ridge Towers. And we've been wanting to make movies since we were kids. So we used to film on those old, like, camcorders that had the VHS tape that went
like
into
like the three-quarter tape that goes into a VHS.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, I used to have those. I used to try, like,
VHSC, I think it was called. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And beta tapes. I have this whole set.
Oh, yeah. That was us. We were like, I was like editing on VCRs.
Wow.
Tape to tape. Yeah, it was terrible. Like, the cut points were, like, really bad. The audio was cutting each time.
Yeah.
Did you have to cut actual film? Because I know that's like, it's, like, the real inside.
Yeah, I did in school. But we were just doing it on VHS. Like, literally from, like, one VHS to the other, we were dubbing scenes from one to the other and, like, laying music into it.
Oh, and, yeah. And so, yeah, we love doing that stuff. We tried to remake The Crow.
Brandon Lee is our hero.
Yeah,
you know, I've never seen that movie. It's on my shelf.
Oh my god, like, it's a must.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. Yeah. I tried to.
It's a must.
Yeah. I bought it for $5 at that comic book store on Fifth Avenue,
nice,
next to the movie theater, and I was like,
"Oh, this Mutant Mania."
Oh yeah, formerly known.
I think now it's like Galaxy something. Yeah,
I don't know what happened to that.
Yeah.
The same. I feel like the same guy. They just changed the name.
I know.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So what did what happened? Did you remake it? Did you achieve the goal of remaking The Crow?
We have it somewhere.
We filmed it, but his dad has it captive in New Jersey somewhere.
Yeah.
We don't know where it is. So, it's seriously a mystery. We have to find the tapes.
There's some tapes that we need to finish it. We divided it up where, since we love The Crow, the character, so much, we counted how many scenes The Crow was in the movie, and then divided up how many scenes we'll do with Rizzo as The Crow.
Oh my god, that's
amazing!
Yeah.
As The Crow,
that's amazing.
And, you know, we know the difference.
We tried to blend it perfectly.
Two
identical twins.
Okay. Yeah, we tried
exactly. So then we just kept making films with our friends and personal projects, and then. We had the Paxson Films.
Yeah, we had our own kind of comedy collective called Paxson Films, where we did music videos for musicians and music videos for Brian. We did a lot of sketch comedies. Wow. And that's kind of how the first Bobo Touch video was born, the Chinese food video, where we literally busted that song out in 3 hours and shot the video in one day. And we have like Jesse Lacey from Brand New, Kevin Devine, and we have some like notable people.
How did we not see that one? We haven't seen the Chinese food.
It was from 2007 or whatever. Yeah. So it's an old one.
And we didn't do anything immediately after Bobo Touch related. It was just kind of a one-off thing that we had just did with those guys and the song that I'd play that for them in the van on tour. And they were like, you guys got to do a video.
And I think also we realized its potential and its power when, you know, because Brian tours a lot.
Yeah.
When people were requesting play the Chinese food song and play Bobo.
people were like, what?
That was happening?
Yeah. Like, hey, you guys going to play that tonight? I was like, it's not a serious song.
Yeah.
It's all a joke.
I'm going to go up there.
This is not straight Brian Bonds material.
How dare you? Bobo Touched existed in 2007.
Yeah, loosely.
Yeah,
a loose existence. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So okay. So were you kind of like doing your own thing separate from that? Because I know the Bay Riz videos and stuff like that.
Exactly.
You had what was that? He had with the Senator Marty Golden or something. Was it Marty?
Vincent Gentile.
Oh, Gentile. Yes, the Gentile.
He played like a doctor in one of them.
Yeah.
He like healed me, and then I went to like save Bay Riz from like destruction.
Dude, that video was insane because you had like the club scene and everybody was dressed like all the Guidos and everything.
Yeah.
Which no longer exist, I feel like.
No, probably
not as much.
Dying, yeah.
The nightlife in Bay Ridge is dying.
Nightlife is dying.
No more Peggy O'Neill's
with the cover bands. It was a funny time period because like I started working in editing full time. Brian was touring a lot. So I think we just kind of both did our own thing. I was doing films and editing and he was doing music and writing.
And just to intervene here. Mike Rizzo is the drummer and played drums on our first Bonds album. Yeah.
You mentioned something about that. I didn't know you were the drummer. Nice, man.
He started getting active with editing for his job. But very much in touch with that record. And the guys who are on that record as well are in the Chinese food video.
I see.
Bass player Jinda and a few of the other guys. But I just wanted to...
That's how we're always connected, essentially. Yeah.
Wow.
Music too, and film.
Damn. So you met each other in grammar school or high school, early high school? Even before, because
we grew up in the same building together.
That building is probably serendipitous.
Since 10 years old.
Damn.
We passed by that building today. Yeah.
It's interesting because it's like a little mini city, essentially. It's 30 stories high.
Right.
Everyone inside that building knows each other and hangs out. It's like a little, little city with
community in there.
Yeah. That's so funny because, I grew up in an apartment building, too. It was like 6 floors. And it was like Marine Park. It was basically like a pseudo retirement home. So I had a very similar, dissimilar.
Yeah,
with
a lot of old people in the building too.
They would yell at us for filming and stuff and skateboarding.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
One
time,
stop doing it. We called a Polaroid woman. She would come and take Polaroids of us when we were being bad, and then she would throw jars of pasta sauce outside her terrace, like 13 floors.
Dude,
like,
trying to
we're
hit
fucking
us.
Fucking kids, yeah, and glass is shattering. And like, I think about this stuff to this day. I can't believe, like, no legal action like, anything.
Like, what? God forbid she hit you with one of those pasta, some of that ragu.
I would be sitting here right now with the ragu in my eye.
Bobo touch would have been just one
I
minute.
Know.
Exactly.
God.
I mean, that sounds like something maybe you can consider putting into your next video, perhaps.
Yeah. Oh, I think also...
Ragu grenade.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. There's more tools now to get people in trouble, though. Cell phones and, you know, there's a bigger... You know, you see something go wrong, you share it to social media, like... Back then, you're just like, oh, I guess I gotta stop being bad, or else glass will go through my face.
Yeah. Oh, God, have ragu blindness from the pasta sauce.
Yeah, yeah.
So, what's your earliest memory of each other then? If you growing up, I want to know this meeting, how
our
this took place.
Earliest memory. Well, there was one real famous story that we met. You know, we met probably in the backyard of our building, but probably some epic story was that like Brian would come over my apartment all the time, and we would. You know, obviously get into trouble, and we were together this energy force, you know. So we were out, somehow my mom just painted her apartment, and we were outside on the balcony, and she had all the rollers in paint and water, like I guess she was like, you know, cleaning them off after painting the whole apartment. And me and this dipshit thought it was a great idea to take the rollers with paint and start winging it at people as they come into the building.
Yeah.
So we were
good
literally
idea.
Called it paint rain, throwing paint on people.
Yeah, and we didn't even think of the...
We didn't even think it was a big deal. We're like, this is cool, this is so much fun. And people were reacting, what the fuck, I'm going to kill you guys.
Yeah.
And until the next morning.
And we didn't think, because the super just saw the light on in his kitchen. It was the same paint on their wall of their apartment that was on the awning. So he was like, oh, they fucking threw paint on at people and on the awning. It matches the color.
Yeah.
So they came up and spoke to Mike's mom, and we had to, like, pay, I think, to get them.
Yeah, it was, like, a crazy amount of money. It was paint all over the awning. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So it wasn't even the people that mattered.
No, it was people got hit, the awning. Yeah, but we were just, like, stupid kids. But I think that was probably the earliest memory of us, like, causing trouble.
And
realizing that, like, okay, we should be, like, good about this and not do any more trouble.
It's been a long time, but, you know, I think I drove Mike's mom crazy. Yeah. And I drove my mom crazy, too. But over time... Mike's mom and I are very tight now.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
And my mom, I we're close.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just funny. You know, I think your own parent knows you're a good kid, but you're a pain in the ass.
Right, right.
But when you see someone else's mom, it's like, oh, my God. And I used to be cursing in his house, like, fuck, shit, slut.
I also remember growing up with his parents, for me, was, like, such a treat because his parents are so open-minded and so, like, such great comics. Like, they have, like, their own way of speaking and cursing a lot and crazy stories
that's
all the
awesome.
Time. And they grew up in Canarsie and just so many stories. I look forward to hanging out at Brian's apartment. As well, growing up.
That's awesome. So were you one of those kids like Brian that your mom thought you were like the best kid in the world, or she would say that to other people, or was it the opposite? Because I know my mom always told me like she would talk shit about me to other people, like, oh, he's not that good, he's not like trying to like put me down, so tell people, like, I mean, one time specifically she said that I got a 1600 on the SAT to people. And like, but she like lied because she was ashamed of my
egg. No.
So it was like it was weird, like opposite, like.
Yeah, I can't imagine Maureen doing such a thing like that.
You wouldn't think. She's
such a sweetheart.
She's a sweetheart. Yeah. She's a sweetheart. I'm not saying she's not.
I knew his mom before I knew him, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
Awesome.
She used to work at the dentist.
Like, yeah, well, there's a similar parallel connection,
an oral connection.
On this side.
She gave you sick dental work.
Yeah, Ciccarelli, Robert Ciccarelli. Good man. He's a good man. So did your mom talk shit about you?
No, she did. I remember. Even,
I think they knew we were trouble for sure.
She always called us the cut-ups, and at my earliest memory too with her was calling her a scumbucket once, and she smacked me in the face. She's like, "Go clean up your dinner." I was like, "Well, you're a scumbucket." She's like, "Really?" And she just
also his clap. Mom is Puerto Rican, so you don't want to mess with her.
Yeah, she's very.
And his dad is Swedish, so Puerto Rican.
Yeah,
they're
that's very, a unique combo.
Rizzo's the classic Bay Ridge.
I'm a Bay Ridge Italian-Irish.
Damn, Rizzo.
Yeah.
Hey.
Ew. Meet me over at Skin Flint.
Yeah, go get a grandma.
Slice.
And by slice, I mean chick.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think my mom wasn't too thrilled with me. She tried putting me on a leash as a kid, and that didn't work.
Like a legitimate leash, or like...
Yeah. Like,
not a...
I was like, so if you're attached to this, that means I could pull you.
And I used to... the fire hydrant.
Yeah.
You're just sitting there...
Like... But yeah, but we're on good terms, always have been. And but yeah, I think she kind of, she just always tells me when not to be stupid or if I sound. Yeah.
Well, that's.
I think what's also really cool is like you, both of our parents were supportive of our projects, which was huge.
Yeah.
He had a drum set in his apartment.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is insane. He almost got evicted a bunch of times. Who has a drum set in a 30-story building?
I had one in my building.
Yeah.
But
it's crazy.
Did you get in trouble?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was like an episode of Friends. Every yeah. It was like the guy with the, I think I legitimately killed the guy beneath. That lived beneath us because he would bang on the roof or of his roof, my floor, to try to shut me up. I gave him, God damn it!
Yeah.
He was elderly, and then one day he just wasn't there anymore. So I assume he must have croaked.
It was a snare drum.
It was a snare drum that got him down.
But yeah, I you know when you're learning drums as a kid, you're not like delicate on it, right? You're blasting away as hard as you can to Green Day or whatever the fuck you're trying to learn.
Exactly. Did you used to play along to CDs?
Hell yeah. That's the only way I got good because I had a drum teacher who I'm pretty sure he had a wig. But it was like the worst wig you could imagine. It was like a Jufro like big fro thing, right? And he like kept shit in it. And the one time he said, he's like, I know your dad just had surgery. Does he take any pills for that? Like asking me basically for Vicodin, you know?
Maybe if I asked the kid for pills, he'll get for me from his dad.
Luckily, I'm not that dumb. So anyway, I had a horrible teacher, but yes, learning via playing along with CDs. I don't know, probably similar for you guys, right?
Sure.
What was in your CD player back in the day?
Oh my God, what Nirvana, Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
That was definitely top two.
I was a really big fan of this Canadian rock band called Matthew Good Band. Still fan of. They've kind of disbanded, and he just has a solo career. But it was one of those like grunge. Canadian cock rock sounding bands.
Awesome. Yeah. That sounds great.
They were good. They have a couple. Yeah. They're definitely better than Nickelback. But it's some songs are very cock rock, but then some of them you could tell are really pixie driven. And they were kind of a big influence on us because we got Much Music on digital, what was it, satellite
TV. At the time we had Much Music.
TV.
Yeah, I remember Much Music.
And I think we learned a lot about
Kurt
music
Cobain
and videos
died,
and stuff.
Yeah. Sunny Day Real Estate, we were big fans
of.
So it was tough to find a lot of good rock like that, which I think is why I associated to their music or was gravitated towards it, because that was the birth of like Limp Bizkit.
We do our own Limp Bizkit video. Which is a whole other story.
Too, but then it was like there was this weird thing where I feel at that time rock just vanished.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, here's like fucking She's So High.
Yeah.
That shit.
And also Creed and came too.
Yeah.
Creed.
It was like, and Third Eye Blind, and then it was like rap rock.
It's
like, so there wasn't really.
New metal and new metal rap rock, it's more than the same,
P-O-D.
I guess.
Yeah.
Pod,
Some of those songs are fucking great. I mean, the Limp Bizkit stuff now, even when I hear it, someone shut Nookie off in a bar was at the other day. And when it came on, the first fucking bar, I was like, oh, please leave this on.
You popped.
It's just so memorable, like, you know? I mean, it's dated, but it's still,
But you remember.
Yeah, it's like it brings you back to your childhood or something, you know? I mean, as corny as it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were actually
last night
we went down a YouTube hole of like old 90s music videos because I realized like because we listen to, you know, whenever we're like getting ready to throw down, we throw on like Matchbox 20 or something to try to like, you know, get in that state of mind, I don't know, but point is, I realized that even though I've heard these songs so many times, we have never like seen the music video, or I don't remember what the music video was like. So it was kind of interesting to like look back and like watch Hootie and the Blowfish. Like,
totally.
Those were tough to find though. Those were not easy videos.
No, we had to go down, and they were not in HD. They were not in HD.
Oh my God, seeing it all blurry and film and stuff, quality. We're so like spoiled by good quality now.
Yeah, Hootie had his high top fade and his jorts on. Everybody had shorts on. I'm like, you can't get away with that in today's business.
It was just like
dudes playing music, you know, like not like, you know, Beyonce drinking lemonade or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a different world now. You know?
Right.
You got to be either Jack White or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like production quality is over like actual song quality, you know,
for
like.
Sure.
What was that other song we were listening to?
Ariana Grande.
She has a great voice.
Oh, plus she's fine.
She's
oh
got a great God, ass, too. Yeah. I hope she's of age. I think she is.
I think she is, too. Wait, we could stop talking about this. Is she?
Hang on, let me just turn the mic down for a second.
I stalk her daily, guys, so I mean, I hope.
She's got the album cover where she's kind of wearing like a bunny mask.
Yeah. I think she's at least 18. I'm pretty sure she's like in her 20s.
I think so. She just looks younger, I think.
She probably is young, though.
Her newest video that... The newest video that she just put out is basically like a Victoria's Secret ad. She's in lingerie. It's all just her on a couch, half naked.
Just seductively posing.
Like, dangerous woman. And just like shaking her ass in front of the camera, like out of nowhere. And you're just like, this is dangerous.
That's the next step for her.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, but also she's like, I think she was a Disney girl, right?
Oh, yeah.
She was a Nickelodeon.
And then she's like a really good impersonator. All the Jimmy Fallon stuff that she's doing, like impersonating, she's really good at impersonating.
Clearly, she has talent.
She's amazing. She's very talented.
Brian just wants to impregnate her.
I'll do anything. Just send me to the room.
Room 14.
I'll do anything.
She's waiting.
She's waiting.
He's just going
up to it. It's the booty. there's still one more in here if you want. I need a cap opener.
Let me get you guys.
We grab more after. But they... I want to do quickly talk about the level of visual seduction in videos.
Oh, yeah.
Like Salt and Peppa and TLC and even those rap videos. Like, some of those girls in the 90s weren't even wearing, like, intense shit. What was I going to say? Thanks. And now girls are naked or practically naked in these videos, and it's a little shocking to – it's not shocking, but, like, there's more – not to leave you to your imagination, really.
You get the kids all sexed up.
I mean, like, if you watch Lisa Loeb video, I'm sure she wasn't shaking her ass in front of that.
Oh, definitely not.
Like a gap. She was wearing like a
Right,
commercial.
Right. And you were just like, you know what? I'm going to imagine what you look like in bra and panties. Yeah. But
yes.
Not.
Glasses on.
Yeah. Keep the glasses on. And your socks, too.
Yeah, right?
That's gross. Well, sorry.
I'm going to start on this.
No, go for it.
It's very Illuminati-esque.
Oh no! He just dropped that. Yeah. He just dropped that. Yeah. This man loves his Illuminati. Well, I mean,
control on you.
Mm-hmm. You can. I bet you can't find one Illuminati reference in a video before 1999.
You know, is that when Jay-Z really came to power?
That's true.
Challenge accepted.
The Illuminati right back. And I think that's why we kind of went crazy on the Subway Creeps video with this internet Instagram star,
Jesenia
Weiss, that we casted and. She's a very nice, personable, smart, funny girl. Is very driven.
The girl that you got in the video, you're saying?
Yeah, like, Subway Creeps. Yeah, she's
rubbing himself.
She's just a beautiful girl. Is very voluptuous, and she was like really on board with our ideas.
Yeah. And she's like big on Instagram or something,
she's
right?
An Instagram star.
Yeah.
Kim K. Almost.
She was crowned by Kim Kardashian.
Really?
As like her lookalike.
Yeah.
On some big show. Yeah.
Yeah, because she said her ass matched her ass, and it was
the
golden.
Ass is matched.
That's all you need. Is like, I mean, if you can match that ass, that's pretty. That's a.
But we wanted to go and make fun of current hip hop videos.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hot and that kind of get a girl that's like jaw dropping and she was great to work with. She was really down to do anything we were collaborating on ideas with. And
yeah.
She went to the Subway
and that video, I think, because of like the pure nature of like Subway Creeps and like you know perverts, that got the most traction because of the subject matter.
It happens
constantly.
Like super creeps on.
Oh yeah. I think that was probably our strongest one in terms of content.
Yeah.
But definitely probably the roughest song for sure.
How do you guys think this just came to my head? But like, what do you think people who don't live in the city or like people who don't even know what Bay Ridge is? I mean, maybe even some people who moved to the city from other places, they'll see that video or see some of your videos. Like, how do you think they process it? Like, how do you think they understand the subways and like things like that? Do you think that it's just kind of like a missed connection, Craigslist mixed connect or something, or what?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's a
it's interesting because life is slower outside of a city like this.
Absolutely,
yeah. In any major city, like even I was in Philly a couple nights ago, and even there, it just feels a little bit chiller, a little bit slower, and I don't know. I just feel like maybe it's overwhelming, but also like maybe it gives them a vision of New York that's very high paced.
I think also
which
like,
it is.
I think what we're good at doing is we're good at like taking the characters and taking what actually happens and like kind of making it a little escalated and a little exaggerated for the sake of making a point.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We want to be animated.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Because like it's always there, like subway etiquette, people like not letting people off the train before they get on, or bumping, or bags, or like man spreading and all that. Like it happens every day, and like we just try to find a way to make it funny
right.
with a message.
You guys were inspired by those subway ads that came up because there was that time when like all of a sudden the subway wanted to be
yeah
like,
yeah they put out the courtesy like, yeah the courtesy yeah. count campaign or whatever and like
add a smile
yeah add yeah. a smile yeah. manners makes
oh,
a better
yeah.
ride
yeah.
and actually I think they were effective and I think what we liked about it it had a little attitude towards it like
yeah.
you know this is not the place for primping and like you know it
yeah.
had some attitude
you know,
yeah. yeah it was
yeah.
kind of cool it was kind of cool they did that
tell
I
the
thought.
Story Steve I want to hear the story
Mike
I want
knows the story.
Yeah
I don't know if Mike knows it
it's inspired us the story
it was really dirty, but I was on the D train going to work, and I was sitting on one of the, one of those L seats, like the one right before the two over here.
Yeah.
And so I'm like sleeping, and then some guy, he's sitting next to me, he's clipping his nails.
Oh,
and
no.
So I was just like, oh man, you know, I'm just going to look at him, or look down at me, and see if he has any clippings on myself. So I look down, and all his fingernail clippings are all over my pant leg.
Oh,
it's
no.
so gross. So I flipped out.
That's rough house.
I never flip out, but I flipped out. And
yeah. How'd you flip
exactly
out?
That's exactly what we're attacking.
Yeah, yeah. That, I mean, I've seen that too. I've seen
that
all that.
All the time.
All that shit.
Yeah,
I've seen all that shit.
I don't know why people do that. Like,
that's
why is
disgusting.
That no,
yeah.
it really is. So I said, what the fuck you doing? You know, a lot of F-bombs. I was yelling.
Brooklyn
was,
came out.
Yeah,
Dyker
yeah,
Heights. Represent.
There's times that the train will do that to you.
He was an elderly Chinese man, and he was very trying to be very forgiving. Like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, nah,
no,
bro.
You can't
yeah.
say sorry. You just
I
did
mean,
it.
He's doing clipping, it on your leg.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's really gross. And then a second time, this happened like 2 weeks ago. Another guy.
Oh, this is fresh.
This is on the R train now, so now we're going trains and we're transferring. And
this is
another guy was. I was saying to this guy, and there was a couple open seats, but it just happened. Everyone got off, and it was two of us. He just starts clipping his nails right next to me. So I said, you know, I'm not even going to say anything. I'm just going to get the fuck out of here. So I
yeah.
got up.
Deja vu.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I know what happened the last time.
Because yeah.
a rogue nail could hit you in the eye.
You're experienced at this.
Yo, scratch cornea is no joke, bro.
Exactly. That's
no
what
joke.
I was about to say. Rip you.
I beat you too, bro. Sorry.
Yeah, no, but the idea, it's there.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
scary shit,
I've done that to myself with my own toenail clippings. Like,
yeah.
fucking pop myself. Like, nah.
Because those shits go anywhere. There's no rules.
Yeah.
Physics does not exist. Make
totally.
Yeah,
just,
it's true.
Just anywhere.
Yeah, those toenails, they're off script.
They really are.
I mean, I'm one of, in the morning, sometimes, like, when people won't move into the train, like into the middle of the car,
oh,
the people
yeah.
just hate. They just like to
they
just stay
own the doors.
Yeah, it's just like I'm in this spot. I don't care what happens to you.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
you got to get to work. I got to get to work. You know, fuck you. But like I'll just
yeah,
be like,
wait.
And I'll never do this ever. Like in my normal day to day. But like when I'm on the train, I'll be like, yo.
Yeah.
Move the fuck in! Like
yeah.
I will yell
oh
and scream.
You know,
but
I think sometimes you have to because
yeah.
that's what actually makes people like realize. Oh shit, I am being a dick.
I was
I'll
with
move.
My son yesterday getting off the D train on Grand Street because I was going into the Lower East Side with him, and there was an old Asian man trying to get on, but he just didn't really let us off, and I with not even like any reservations. There was a kid on the other side of the door that kind of gave me a look by my reaction to this old man. I was like, back the fuck up and let me off the train. And he was like, okay. I was like, because at this point, like, he let my wife out, but then he didn't let us exit.
Yeah.
So I was like, listen, like, you know that I'm leaving too, and just wait.
I'm either
a
doing
second.
One of two things here:
yeah.
getting on
yeah.
and getting off.
I mean, come on!
Yeah.
Like, clearly, I'm trying to go
yeah.
the other way. So,
and a lot of people now get on and they don't. They just stay by the door and they don't move any further
yeah.
in.
So oh
it's
yeah,
it's like just my spot. And it's like,
and
well,
also,
now the entrance is narrower.
When his wife Laura was pregnant, he experienced that a lot with the being pregnant and not giving up your seat for a
yeah.
pregnant lady.
Yeah.
That was kind of how the subway etiquette song was happened too, because he was writing that during her
yeah.
pregnancy, essentially.
That's by far the worst thing. Like when you see like you know like an elderly person or
yeah,
something like
if no one responds.
Yeah. But one of my things is I hate is like sometimes you can't tell if a woman's like
oh,
actually
yeah.
pregnant.
Oh, that's I know
it's
that's
tough.
A whole other
you know.
My friend at
that's
work
crazy.
She plays a game yeah. where it's like. Is pregnant or not pregnant? Like, because if you offend a woman, she's just kind of fat and has like a little
and it's
yeah.
you know, it's fine.
It's
yeah. it's that's cool.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying that it's you know.
But dude, sometimes you just see yourself on the train. You see like an old woman. You're sitting down. You're like, you've had a you know crazy day, and you're just like, I fuck this woman. You know.
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
Or
you
try to be nice, and they end up being snappy.
Oh
or,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Some of them they're just grumpy.
That's the other side. You don't want to ever like get into a fight. You
yeah.
know? I mean, it just depends. You never know what like what's gonna happen. Because
yeah.
there's some crazies that will. Yeah, do some shit to you.
It's best to really like gauge in general when it's right to say something. Yeah, yeah. I just lost. I just had it in my. I wasn't even mad. I just was like, if this guy doesn't try and let us off, I'm gonna curse at him. Like, yeah. That was just, you got to pick your battles. I feel because you never know who's actually gonna have a knife. There's been slashings and shit like that.
Yeah, it's been a subway slashing. It's been a big thing now. Yeah, it's popular with the kids.
Like, yeah,
it's crazy.
It's popular with the kids.
Yeah, exactly. No,
you're right. It's always slashing. Like some young 18-year-old kid is like, I gotta cut some girl's face today. Like,
I need an iPhone, which I have 7 of already.
Yeah,
it's like, what the fuck do you need that for?
It's insane.
Yeah, but let's talk about the new video.
Yeah, I'm saying. Okay, speaking of cutting.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was actually a sick segue.
Great segue.
Smashing kids.
I like
that. So you're listening to the Stroll Show on Radio Free Brooklyn, and we're here with Bobo Touch. They have a new song that they just dropped. Right, because we were discussing this earlier. Like, you don't really put out albums. Like, is there a plan in the works? By the way,
I think we
want to
do
like a full length EP.
We do. We have a tentative album title called "Low Level Dreams."
Yeah. Oh, that's
So
sounds like my life.
Yeah, it's very relatable.
So I think when we get a few more songs in the bag,
we'll knock
do
out
a Spotify
EP
session,
and we also might
audio tree.
We might. Add some remixes on it too from other producers remixing our stuff.
Really, friends.
Kind of make it more like a, not an anthology, but like a double album of like the original songs and then some stuff. Just kind of stack it the way hip hop albums have like 21 tracks sometimes, like intro, outro, that type of stuff. So,
was this new song done by anybody special or like anything reputable? Whatever, I don't know.
No,
not really. No, I mean, it was just all him and then same kind of process. He wrote the chorus.
Yeah. I sent him like a few ideas and we're like, which should be the next musical theme? And he was like, feeling the beat and music to this one.
Yeah.
And we were happy to include our friend from the Miniature Tigers to play Lenny Kravitz at the end.
We were debating that. Is that real?
Apparently, a lot of people think it's actually Lenny Kravitz, which is great.
News publications, we said that too, like, oh my God, amazing. Is that really Lenny?
Everyone responded, is that really Lenny? And they're like, no, it's our good friend. And they didn't respond to us.
What a genius.
What a genius
idea. So, okay, this is like a chicken and the egg question. Did you know you were going to have a Lenny Kravitz lyric in the video?
Well,
or
yeah.
Did it just kind of come out?
He wrote that kind of
improv,
on a whim.
Because I was like, I'm so tired of your disgusting habits. And then I was like, let me think what rhymes with habits. And I was like, Kravitz.
We always think of like really dumb rhymes. And then like after that, we think about who do we know who looks like Lenny Kravitz. That was the next journey.
Wow.
We have a guy who looks like Lenny Kravitz,
actually. Yeah. And he came in and just completely owned Lenny Kravitz.
He's a very
chill
dude. You'd be like, hey, do you want to do this? He'd be like, sure.
Like one word answer, and
we
just
recorded. He threw all these faces in, and like he brought the role, but we didn't think he was gonna bring the magic.
Dude, he embodied the craft.
Yeah, he was really good.
And that solo,
my face
is still covering.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. All right, well, maybe we should let's listen to this this song.
What's the title of this one?
This is
Line Cutters.
Yeah, Line Cutters.
Line Cutters. Double meaning, double entendre for you. Drug induced.
Yeah, we'll come back. We'll
figure that out later. Right? Yeah.
It's the land of evil that that will stand the test of time. You think I'm wrong, but it's in the sun. The world is filled with evil where we belong.
No more line cutting, this is the world. This is how it goes, everyone knows.
No, no, tippy toe, take it slow. Don't cut the line, make it mow. Hey, what are you doing now? I'm so tired of your disgusting habits. Everybody should be nice, like the King Rockstar Lenny Kravitz.
Are we good? Are we back?
We're back. We're hot. That was the new Bobo Truck Butt Touch, not Brian Bond's track.
No, not Brian Bond's.
It's Bobo Touch.
Bobo Touch.
Bobo Touch.
That's correct.
Looks apparently like people are getting confused, right? On in the scene.
Yeah, it's some people think that a lot of the video. Videos that we put out early on, too, were new singles off of our album because the Bonds album came out around the same time as we dropped other videos. So they were like, oh, is that on the album? Like, is it a half comedy or serious album? And it's two separate things, but ultimately, we were promoting the same thing.
And also, for those who don't know, Brian does amazing stand-up in between his songs when he tours and plays. So I think people get a little confused because he's really good at stand-up comedy stuff in between songs.
My favorite is, like, you look like a grown-up Chucky. I said that a few times. I like that.
So true.
It's fun to play with the crowd, and it's also, I think, too many artists take themselves seriously where they say something. I'm like, this song was written about my ex-girlfriend, and they start playing and looking.
They're very sad. You have to have a little fun with it, man. You know,
I'm all about playing meaningful stuff, but if you can't have fun or break the ice a little bit and talk about anal beads, like, it's great to push someone out of their comfort zone. So I think, but it's good. It's good. They both piggyback and promote both, and you know, it's sometimes people like the Bobo Touch stuff more, or see it more than having the time to be like, well, I haven't sat down and listened to your album yet, but I did see that sick video.
It's weird. It's like having someone like invest in your album is harder than just like, hey, here, click this YouTube video, and like that gets more traction.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole other discussion. Yeah. It's like you can really go down a rabbit hole of talking about like what is the proper way to promote yourself in this day and age, I guess, or in this like current music scene. I mean, like, is there a scene anymore? We always try to talk about that, like when we did the podcast, like that's like a question we talked about with every like musician we had in there, like what is the scene now?
I don't think we figured it out.
We haven't figured it out. It's still up for discussion.
It's definitely tough.
It's weird. No, and also back to what you guys were saying, like, you know, you guys were like, oh, we looked up on Spotify, there was no Bobo Touch there, and like with the album, hip hop artists, these people are dropping singles out of nowhere. You know, James Blake just did it now. He just put his record out. Radiohead just did it. There is no lead up anymore where you send the journalist an album. I mean, some labels are still doing it.
Yeah.
And it's great for developing artists to be like, will you write about this that day? But like now it's more effective for some of these big people to let everyone play catch up. And I think Netflix is following that with like, here's all the 12 episodes of Daredevil. No journalist has saw all 12 of these yet to write a review on it. Who's going to cover it? How impactful it is. And so it makes everybody kind of dig in a little bit deeper. But yeah, you just kind of drop it. And I feel like that's how it is.
I mean, I think it's a good way to do it.
Totally. And I feel like if I keep doing Bond stuff, I don't know if it'll ever be like in a record format. Down the line, you can do some sort of anthology or like collection. But I think it'd be interesting to go back to the way they did it, like Buddy Holly, where it's like drop singles.
And that's kind of what smart. What it's. I mean, even like you know. Whatever, I don't like or listen to Beyonce, but I mean, that's what she's... So many people, it's just like,
surprise.
Boom, here's the album.
Yeah.
And then that generates more buzz than actually, like, you know, letting people prepare for it.
I think my feed was like 3 weeks of Lemonade.
Well, that's like Good Boys and Brand New. They just dropped a single out of nowhere. Yeah. No one was expecting anything. And then all of a sudden, here we have a single that's out. And everyone gets excited.
And it's well-received, too. Yeah, like Pitchfork and publications that never used to really write about them are writing about it. And you're right. I do think it makes a bigger splash, you know. Yeah. And,
I also think that has to do with generationally, too. Like, not to get all, like, philosophical or whatever, but, like... The next generation is the ones that
we're working at those magazines.
Exactly. I mean, that is from like even the Rush documentary. I don't know if you guys like Rush, but like The way they kind of got famous, like in the middle of the 80s, is the people who liked them in the 70s are the ones that were the nerds that got famous and like, or not famous, but like got a lot of
wrote
money.
About them. Yeah.
Right. And then
take
they
there and be like, exactly, actually, I'm going to write the
exactly
story.
Exactly. So that kind of dictates the scene, I guess,
it's
too,
true,
or whatever's popular. But
and you got to be smart. Like, obviously, they're not going to write about fucking Yellow Card or Third Eye Blind on
right,
on
right, right.
Form,
Brand New has their, you know, respect.
They were smart. Yeah. Yeah. And they were like, we're not going to, they write good music. They weren't like press whores or like, hey, I'm going to be stupid and, you know, I'm going to date fucking Jennifer Love Hewitt and then throw
but
fucking
you forget
vodka. They, you know, John Mayer.
Throw ragu sauce over somebody's fucking roof.
That will get them.
But I mean, that you forget, like, they were that big at one point where they could have went down that path, right?
For
I mean,
sure.
They played all the late nights and all that kind of shit back in that time, but
totally.
I mean, yeah, we're going off on a brand new tangent.
Well, those
not
videos, those music videos were super famous too back in the day.
Yeah. Totally, the Total Request Live Countdown.
Yeah,
and,
Quiet
know.
Things. That was the one.
Yeah, all those.
And I think you have to choose the or form your own, not destiny, but path in a if you get to a certain point of your career of how to. I mean, I'm just saying from assessing it. That with anyone, an actor, musician, you kind of have to at some point when you get to a point. I kind of think Ryan Gosling is like this. He got so popular and then started to choose darker and interesting. Like The Notebook, he could have then kept going in that direction.
Right. Oh, of course. He could have been like Robert Pattinson or something.
Yeah,
or something like
and
that.
He's doing all these weirder movies. He's producing stuff. And, you know, so I think Brand New and when any actor like him, an actress or writer, choose an interesting way to preserve their career.
The ultimate is Leo,
you know?
I think, right?
Yeah,
Leo is like the poster
G.
child. He's like, come on.
Sure.
Yeah, I can't believe that's the first time he's won an Oscar. I mean, I don't care
that's
about
insane.
Awards.
That was
and
basically
stuff,
like a Lifetime Achievement Award.
I think they just did that to give it to him. Like,
yeah,
there's so much hype too leading up
to
him winning.
If I mean that place would have gotten torched by people. Like, people would have burned that lynch.
Like they had to.
It's so cheesy to say this, but he's a really good actor.
Really
is.
Yeah.
I mean, even like Titanic.
But also that movie was like mind blowing visually. Revenant.
Riz loves saying this story, but I brought a disposable camera.
Oh my god, this is the best.
Yeah. I think you should say it, man.
Yeah, so we saw what was it, Basketball Diaries or Titanic?
My dad showed us Basketball Diaries because he was like,
I think it was Basketball Diaries.
Fuck up.
Movie.
That movie blew my mind.
That was
I saw that way
intro
too young.
Leonardo DiCaprio, and like it blew our fucking minds.
When he's going through withdrawals with Ernie Hudson in that room for
so,
like days.
Sucking dick for heroin money or whatever.
It was like fucking heavy movie, man.
Horrible.
So we knew going in, we gotta see Leo. We love this movie. We love this idea. We went into the Alpine Movie Theater in Bay Ridge.
Oh, that's the spot.
With a disposable camera. And one scene that we wanted to get was when he was like on his like crying his fucking heart out, and when Brian takes photos with the flash in the theater, and everyone starts laughing like, "What the fuck is he doing?" He started taking photos of the screen.
It was like it was
in
like,
the theater.
It was like pre-internet. Image
the flash was going off. People were like, dude, stop. That was our memory of Leonardo DiCaprio early on.
I was obsessed with Leonardo DiCaprio.
He had a man crush on him.
Yeah, I thought Leo was cool. I was like, he was kind of our generation James Dean, you know, who didn't die.
I'm like losing my headphones.
Because man is all disheveled over here.
Oh my god!
Listen,
I'm trying to understand though, like, what is the purpose of those pictures? Just so you can look at them again later.
It came out like shit. They were all blown out.
Yeah, they were really bad. Like you could barely see the image.
We were like a Dwayne Reed. Oh man, I hope it came out.
Yeah,
it wasn't good at all.
I think it was like to have. Like, we're into scenes and visuals, so I think it was to have, like, an image from a movie which you could find anything off Google now.
Right. You should have uploaded it somehow and, like,
you've been the...
And now I just have fucking screens of pictures of Alpine screen.
Imagine the guy working at Dwayne Reed developing that.
But think about this, though, because now we go back to smartphones and stuff. Before, everyone had to get their film developed, so
that's
what crazy shit did they see?
Oh, yeah.
I know there was some nude pics on there.
Oh, I got talk to you about that.
Oh, hang on. All right.
Off mic or on mic?
No, we could talk about on mic. I know we're wrapping up soon, but there was a guy that we knew that was friends with John DeLeo that he worked at a photo place in Manhattan, and they would get he would just take rolls, 1 hour photo, and He said he took me doubles of photos of that. There were so many sexual photos of husbands that like did series with their wives.
Oh,
and
shit.
He
series?
Said that, yeah, you know, like
series. Photo series.
Yeah, and there was some.
Isn't that illegal?
There was some he had of Jennifer Lopez backstage at SNL with no makeup that someone took. And he made doubles of it. And she looked beautiful, but you could tell there was, like, no makeup.
Right.
And I was just like, oh, my God. Like, people really do submit rolls of film with naked photos.
Yeah.
And you
had no choice back then.
Yeah, at the time.
And maybe somebody in this room has so before at Genovese, you know. And maybe there were a few missing when I got him back. But, you know.
Some are stuck together. Yeah. We don't know why.
And
Clint still uses it for material.
He's got his
Leonardo DiCaprio one. Yeah,
that's the golden stash. But yeah, you're right. Now people have smartphones that take photos of movie screens of Leonardo DiCaprio shoving his face up a bear's ass.
I mean, okay, so the internet has changed a lot of things in our lives, and technology has changed both taking pictures, sharing pictures, putting your music out to the world.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier. I'm sure you guys dig it too to be able to do something like this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we just couldn't really exist without the internet, honestly.
But it's like thing. But now for us, it's great because there's like not a lot of outlet for some of the people that we enjoy as artists. Right, so we can now fill some sort of
mini void.
Yeah, mini void that probably wasn't even there until we filled it.
Yeah, they're like, oh, that was what was missing.
Yeah, but I mean, it's cool. So I mean, it's good and bad. I mean, it's given douchebags like us opportunity to shoot shit on a mic.
Exactly.
So I guess
to wear a Rocco shirt.
That's great. Yeah, I love your shirt.
Nathan's
by the way.
Hot dog shirt.
Yeah, you guys have really good shirt game.
We came prepared today. We're
it's
like,
really
oh,
good. I like.
Yeah.
I ain't joking around. You didn't even see my socks.
Well, I saw the socks.
Oh my god,
coming
he's
in.
Got sick fishies.
Yeah, they're actually parakeets.
There you go.
Parakeets. I want those. You gotta give us that before you leave.
Oh yeah.
One sock each.
Do me a favor and give me both these.
Hang on, no, this is not a question. This is a demand.
There's a hold up in the studio right now. Yeah. Oh, wait. I'm not wearing socks. So he doesn't have anything to take from me.
No, that's that smell. Okay, so like, kind of wrapping up. Like, what's coming up for you guys? You guys planning on like maybe doing a show or doing like
We keep tossing around this idea of like a web series. You know, whether it's like on our own channel or like we're just kind of like something. That kind of shows either our etiquette vibe or, you know, just some comedic, fun, New York City centric, you know, on characters and like weirdos. And
totally. It involve people who present more strange characters around us, but in our universe.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
You are developing your own like Boboverse.
Yeah.
Something to that extent I think we're going to try to do next. Some more topics too.
Totally.
Course.
So yeah, there's a few avenues we want to hit, you know, like a web series.
Third avenue,
maybe fifth, depending on the time of the night.
And I think it could be cool to you know keep doing what we're doing as well as like these single type videos. But you know we can add different narratives down the line, which we have a few ideas to implement. But yeah, I think we have a few topics that we want to tackle soon.
Oh yeah,
and bad parenting. I think
I think
one
bad parenting is definitely on our list. Bad landlords. Anyone who's bad, we're gonna fucking tackle you.
I have a
we're coming for
parent
you.
Story if you guys need.
Dude,
I'm
sure.
Off mic.
Okay.
So no, we don't want to give it out. We don't want to give it out.
We don't want the YouTube generation to steal our ideas.
Yeah, they might take a photo of it.
Let me ask you guys this question.
A 1 hour photo.
Hang on. Do you guys ever need any, you know, extras?
Oh, dude, we're always looking for people. That's sick.
We're not too far away.
Can we? Maybe we'll be
doing stuff at Century.
We're always in need of people.
We're always down, and we want to be part of the Bubbleverse.
Oh, thank you so much.
The Bubbleverse.
We're gonna use that Bubbleverse.
But like live shows, are you gonna do like any live? I could see like you guys doing like a comedy show or something. Like even if you don't perform music,
We talked about that because he's so well connected with like venues and stuff. But we can easily do a show, and we just haven't put that into motion. But we have talked about it.
And the thing is, I have a decent amount of friends in the hip hop world that love it when we play with the Brian Bonds Project. But then they're catching on to this Bobo Touch stuff, and they're like, "Yo, that new track is fire, yo!" And I was like, "Wait, what?" Like, "Yeah, that shit is dope. Like, you guys are doing some next level shit." I'm like, wait, and they don't even find it too funny. They find it awesome, which is great. I mean, they think they get it's a joke, but they think we're hitting the home run to the point.
Yeah.
And I think that's great that if hip hop people, like, you know, big black dudes are digging it, that means that we're doing something funny and write. So we want to try and get in that universe. We're going to throw a big holiday thing for Brian Bonds with a bunch of bands. You guys should come down and do something too at Rough Trade in December.
Oh, awesome.
And we want to try, I want to have like Bobo Touch do something in between somewhere where we have like, you know, just literally a laptop playing the back
tracks. That'd be great.
That's yeah, amazing. And I think it could be real fun to do that stuff and yeah, definitely get more of a live presence as well.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, could you guys really, because no one's really, New York City's grown so much in these last couple of years. No one's really talking about what's happening in the city. It's just, you know, apartments and all these new condos and shit going up, but no one's really looking at the culture anymore. Everyone's overlooking that, and I feel like now you guys are kind of touching up. You know, you're focusing on what everyone's kind of forgetting about.
You're touching.
I think that's touching. Where the Bobo Touch name comes in. We're touch on things people forget about.
Exactly. Oh,
shit. Or touching on things that need to be spoken about.
Yeah, and Facebook is a great place to see where opinions are grouped and bitched about too, because if you'll start to see a trend, you know,
that's very true. No, you guys are definitely hitting on all those sweet spots.
Yeah, you're touching. Exactly. Maybe they don't want to be touched where they're being touched.
Yeah, just as long as they don't touch your Bobo.
What is the Bobo? Is honking on Bobo? That's the only thing I know.
Well,
is
from like the Bobo the Clown. Like, yeah,
my dad was like, yeah, never let a stranger touch your Bobo. As a kid, it was kind of like Bobo touch, you know?
Well,
yeah.
I mean, I think that's the perfect way to wrap it up. to wrap it up.
I'm totally freaked out, guys.
All right, I just want to thank you guys for coming down.
Thank you guys. Seriously, so much fun.
Yeah, you've been listening to The Stroll Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. We've been sitting with Bobo Touch. Check them out on YouTube. That's the only place they fucking exist.
Bobo Touch.
You have no fucking choice.
Thank you so much, guys.
And when you go see them at a show, take a Polaroid or a fucking one-hour photo. See if you can get it developed at Dwayne Reed.
Do yourself a Leonardo DiCaprio favor.
I gotta find that photo now.